Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca.
Definitely wasn't our best game. I wasn't Picasso by any means.
We're a team that has won 100 games over the last 2 years, and you know, have won 16 of our last 19 games. You know, we know how to win hockey games all sorts of different ways.
That's right, Connor McDavid. Not apologizing to nobody for nothing, no matter how ugly it was. And it was ugly. Welcome to Got Your Back, post-game live stream edition. Jason Strudwick standing by to break down that pig of a game that we all just watched, but it's 8 in a row for the Oilers. Second time they've done that under Chris Knobloch. Wow. As always, Got Your Back, brought to you by our fantastic title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Go check out their huge, beautiful showroom. That's why they're the number one GMC dealership in all of Canada. 5 years running volume-wise, they do things right. Can't stress enough how accommodating they are. Bought my truck there. Sales staff, easy to deal with. They respect your time. They get you in and out of there in a timely fashion. Great deals. Easy financing process. It's the place to start your vehicle buying journey. Go see Phil and the crew just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Mention that the pod sent you, and you'll get specialized pricing and 3 free ultimate detail packages as well. Coming to you from the Long Shot Studio out here in Sherwood Park. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in Edmonton and in Sherwood Park, location Stony Plain Road and here in Sherwood Park. And with the snow falling, why not play a little bit of golf? Get yourself out of that snowy mindset and thinking about the great golf season to come. Strutty, well, buddy, wow, hey, that was something.
That was a win that you get, and you try not to think about it again. It was,
oh boy!
I don't know how to really. It was a pretty stacked team playing against a team that's not stacked. When you look at their power play guys, Rent Pitlick played over 4 minutes on the power play.
Enough said. Like it's one of those weird nights. I would have never guessed that would have been a trap game because the Blackhawks were so bad. Their roster is so bad, right. But they put up a hell of a fight. We're going to get to all of that in the breakdown. We have to welcome in Zuby tonight. And Strutty, Zuby always looks good, but tonight he's sounding next level. Zuby, we've been working you to the bone. You get an hour and 45 minutes of sleep a night, and the result, this wonderful dulcet tone you've got going. How are you, pal?
The result is this. Yeah. Oh, I might go with this instead. I'm going to bring it down, get in real close here.
How are you going to do Ask Us Anything? You sound like a bag of ass. You sound so bad.
I might go with some American Sign Language here for the, but I don't know if I'm going to have to brush up. I don't think Strutty, I have that kind of time.
He's been sick 3 times in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it me? Like, are we working him too hard?
Well, it's possible. I mean, he is a hard workhorse. But I guess, you know, are there cough drops in British Columbia?
Yeah, right here.
What is that? What kind is that?
That's Halls? That's a Halls.
Classy.
I'm going to get flavor? To that. I just didn't want honey? It. Honey and something. Menthol.
That's classy.
They call it menth eucalyptus.
Classy. Classy.
I just love listening to you scramble through like this. You know what? I'm going to take a back seat here. Zuby, I'm going to let you host the breakdown tonight.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay. Well, man. That was a disaster. I mean, it was as close to a disaster as it could have been, but they managed to pull through.
Okay. Yeah. On that note, time for the breakdown. Great job, Zuby.
Yeah.
Rest that voice, and we will check in with you for Ask Us Anything. Time for the breakdown, brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel. They specialize in heavy-duty truck and trailer repair, performance tuning parts, and sales. They have 7 gigantic bays, and there's not much they can't figure out for you. Marty and his crew have extremely high standards. They will leave your truck in great shape, like it's right out of the factory. They take a tremendous amount of pride in their work. Go to adrenalinediesel.ca. The title of the podcast, Struds, is They Aren't All Picassos. The head coach said it. By the way, we named the podcast first, and then he said it. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, we're not stealing his material. Sometimes that's just the way it goes. But I got to say, man, for how well the Oilers have been playing lately and how depleted the Hawks are, I'm really surprised that that went that way.
It wasn't. I don't know. Okay. I'm of two minds.
You don't even know what to say.
Because I don't know which way to go here. Is this a team that's been playing really well and is coming off of it a little bit? You look at their last two wins, Ottawa, they played well enough to have a bigger, what was that final, Shogart? Was it 4-1 or 3-1 against
which
Ottawa?
Which game?
Ottawa Senators.
I think it was 3-1. Right.
Yeah. So
I could check if you need me to.
I think we all agreed it should have been more like a 5 or 6-1 game, but it wasn't. It was 3-1. And Skinner had to make some pretty good saves to keep that one where it was. Then tonight, I thought Skinner was the best player on the ice again.
Agreed.
For the Oilers. And so is this a team that, and it always happens, you probably lose some games you should win, then you go on a winning streak, and then you start coming down the other side of that because you can't keep up at 100 for the whole year. And so are they coming down off it?
Yeah.
Ultimately, we won't know until we get through the next two games, Detroit and Montreal on Saturday.
You know, with streaks, right? They say sometimes when a streak's ready to come to an end, and this is the point you're making, you're probably winning games that you shouldn't be. And are the Oilers entering into that zone, right? The competition's going to stiffen up here a little bit. They'll have trouble with Detroit if they play like that, for sure. Or are they, is this just one of those ones where you don't bring your best stuff and you figure out a way to get it done? And you, as a group, maybe you deserve, I don't want to say credit because that sounds ridiculous, but Struds, bottom line, you don't bring your best stuff to work all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you are maybe 4 out of 10 pods, you bring your best. Okay. And you make That's the other high. Six work. That is high. You make the other six work. And you maybe only lose 5 out of those other 6. But that one win you get when you're crappy, Struds. Like, the Oilers don't always bring their best stuff. And good teams figure out how to win games when they're looking at each other going, yeah, we don't have it tonight. This is a grind. So do they get credit for grinding one out when they didn't have it? Or should we be crapping on them for being that crappy?
It's hard to crap on a team who's won 7 games, now 8 in a row.
I
take notes during the game and I kind of jot things down. And
The
devil was on one side and then the angel on the other. And, you know, the devil is it's not that he hates the Oilers. He's just kind of uber critical, right? This is what I want to see. This is what I want to do. On the other side is a little more forgiving because they've worked themselves back into a great spot here or into a playoff spot in shorter time than I thought was possible. So I think I'm going to take the path of it was a win. I've said it many times in the past. I'd like to see them be able to get through a game where they're winning 2-1 and carry that lead throughout it and not need someone have to go, you know, crazy and win 5-1. So it's a learning experience for this group. And I think the flip side, Shogger, Stuart Skinner looked good. He made some great saves. They're not every, you know, with all due respect to the Chicago Blackhawks shooters, there's not a ton of elite skill there. So the shots weren't that hard, but still he made some good saves from point blank spots, specifically in the third. And when there's got outshot, I'd say 3 or 4 to 1.
I agree with you. He had a tough night. Like he had a tough night in terms of the quality of the shots and late in the game, protecting a 1-goal lead, made that pad save from the point blank shot right in the slot. Skinner was really good here for sure. And so on the list of things, you know, positive things to talk about tonight, Stuart Skinner is on that list and firmly so. And I want to let them off the hook the way you are, Struddy. I want to go, yeah, you know, sometimes you got to win games like that and good for them, right? There's part of me that wants to do that. But look at that lineup. Look at that lineup they played against tonight. And no disrespect to these players, they just beat the Calgary Flames. But they got 15 shots on net against that lineup. That's the part that's like, I'm not sure I'm quite there for just going, 2 points is 2 points and you got to win ugly sometimes. This one feels a little different.
So what would your message, if you're the coach, after the game, what would your message have been? As you watched that and you sat there like Chris Knobloch,
yeah,
you go in there and shake them a bit?
Dude. No, 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 not at all. You got a team on an 8-game heater. Your forward-facing message to them is, all right, fellas, we know we didn't have our best stuff. Good on you for getting the win. Yeah. We'll debrief it tomorrow. You know, enjoy the night. We'll see you on the plane. Like, simple, easy, keep the positive energy going. But I think it then becomes about the debrief, doesn't it? Doesn't it become about the message that you send to Ryan McLeod about getting blown around in his own end in embarrassing fashion? Yeah, to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins about the horrendous play on the wall. I think you can be a little firm with your follow-up in the days to come to make sure you're more ready for the next game. Wouldn't that be the way you go about it?
I think I'm going to take it a slightly different pattern. I think you remind the guys that that wasn't our best game. Guys, we got 2 points. Congratulations. That wasn't our best. We played Detroit. They're a team that is further up the standings than this group. And I know, and we know, we're better than that. And so let's start. Let's get on the plane, enjoy this, and we're going to talk about it and think about it. And we're going to know we'll be better when we hit the ice in Detroit. I think you got to give them the benefit of the doubt because they've earned that. You know, what is their record now in the last?
They won 16 and 19.
16 and 19. So I think you have. They've earned the right to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you and I described a different conversation there. I think we agree. It's a more positive approach tonight. And you got to get to digging in on some of that ugly stuff, don't you?
I think I give them the benefit of the doubt because I want to see if they've matured. Do they know? And I think they have. I think this team has been hurt early in the year. And I think that they know enough that they have to, what they have to do and do better. Because what I saw tonight was a team that was a little bit disjointed. I thought they had a tough time breaking out of their own zone. Not, you know, choosing not to shoot when they had a chance to shoot. So just little things that you can fix. And there's not one overarching thing like this was the problem tonight. I think just a little bit of thing everyone can tidy up. And I think the Oilers were guilty of playing down to their competition tonight.
Oil fan chimes in with two really important points here on the live stream. And we'll get to more of these and Ask Us Anything. Someone tell Strudwick he's a legend. Oh, will you sign my Nugent Hopkins jersey, Struddy? So that's, do you sign other players' jerseys? That you're okay doing that?
I don't make a habit of it, but for you, when you call me a legend, I'd pretty much come over and shovel your driveway.
Oil fan follows that up by saying, Ryan's eyebrows are fading. So thanks for that, Oil fan. Maybe it's the lighting here. If I back off the lighting a little, did that darken them up, Struds? A
little bit. They're not, now that you mentioned them, they're not very big, are they? They're not. Do you get work done on them?
No, nothing. I every once in a while, my hairdresser will go after them and she'll go to snip them. And I'm like, meh. Sure. I don't want them messed with, but they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Must be small scissors.
You notice something about yourself for the first time when someone points it out, you're like, wait a second here. By the way, Struds, this whole debate about how tall I am, and we'll get to this later in the podcast, measured tonight. My son Kai and I, tape measure, mark on the wall, the whole bit. The much anticipated results of that coming up later on in the show and your reaction to it. I'm going to make a statement. You're going to disagree. Connor McDavid had his best night of the year.
When? Which game?
Post-game. Post-game. Oh, McDavid was on fire in his post-game interview tonight. And don't get me wrong. He's good. He'll answer our questions. He's always willing. Am I wrong, Struds? Did you watch post-game?
I did. I love the post-game. You know what? When I was a player, I didn't care anything about it. And even early on in my media career, I really didn't care what the guy said after. I think I prefer more to hear what they say after the game rather than the morning of the game.
Of course.
If I have a choice. And I used to be the other way because I used to try to pick up little nuggets what they're going to say. But no, he was excellent tonight. And he was very, even his face, he was very relaxed and he almost smiled a couple times.
Nice facial analysis. I like that. Yeah. That's next level. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox. Heating and air conditioning done right. The cold has arrived, so be proactive rather than reactive and get your furnace or heating system serviced and tuned up. Visit WeissJohnson.com. McDavid was so good. We're going to hear from him in the breakdown here. We're going to hear from him in takeaways, and we're going to hear from him in Strutty's world. We got three of the captain's clips loaded and ready to go. Here's McDavid on grinding through a tough one tonight.
A good job of just staying in it. I know I've said that a lot lately, but you know, we kind of just found a way tonight. You know, they're obviously banged up, you know, young lineup, excited lineup. You know, those are sometimes the toughest games to play. You know, they're a little bit scrambly, a little bit all over the place, and you know, I thought they played really well.
You know, Brett Kulak postgame also had a gooder, Strutty, because we wonder, do players sit there and think, man, why aren't we just beating the crap out of this team? We are so much better than these guys. And Kulak alluded to that tonight about how you can't think that way.
It's a good test of patience for sure throughout the game. You know, you could easily sit here in each intermission thinking, oh, we should be smoking these guys or whatever, blowing them out by five goals. But we just kind of stuck to our process. You know, mistakes are going to happen in the game. And we just, we stayed the course. We didn't get too out of control mentally. We just played our game throughout. And obviously, Stu gave us a great performance.
You'd like to think a team could shake itself out of that, Struds. Like, that first period was horrendous. Whatever process you have as a group in the second or the first intermission, you know, it wouldn't be a big speech or anything. It would just be kind of this recognition among the group that, okay, we're kind of playing with fire here, fellas. Let's get going. They didn't have that. Any concern about that a first period that bad rolled into a second period that wasn't much better, and a third period with three bloody shots on net in a one-goal game?
Yeah, the three shots in the third, that was a hard one for me to swallow. But I mean, at the end of the second, early third, where Leon had an unreal chance and Razzik made a pretty big save off a two-on-one. I think it was a two-on-one. I understand everything you're saying. And at times, you know, you're going into a game, you're looking across, it's basically an AHL team. With all no due respect to that team, I've been on teams that are almost that bad. And you just you don't get worked up for it. You're not fired up. And you know, they have Detroit and Montreal. So this is a week that feels kind of easy. There's not a Vegas or a Winnipeg or a Vancouver on the horizon right away here. So I think it's a dangerous time to schedule for the Oilers. They have been playing well. They are racking up points, but they have to keep their standard at a higher level. And that has to be internal. So I think the first period of the next game will be very interested to see what they bring.
Right. Mature group comes out and leaves nothing to chance in the first period next game. Mature group sends the message, okay, we can get away with that now and then. We're not going to be so cocky as to think we can show up with that again and just waltz our way to a ninth consecutive win. A mature group sorts that out. Comment here on the stream from Leaky37. When is Strutty going to go off on Nurse sliding on his belly?
It's so funny. I saw it happen and I was like, do I?
There's
do
my Strutty's world up? Right there. You chickened out.
So when you slide, the worst outcome is when you slide right out of the picture and the guy just walks in and just rifles it. And that's exactly what happened there. That's why I don't like going down. I never went down rarely as a player, and I don't like it when I see D-man go down. Stay on your feet so you're still agile and able to react to what's happening in front of you. Players are too talented. They can see that coming. They've just pulled it back. Oh, hold on, just outside of reach. Then they come in and let it rip. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. A guy's been playing really well. Actually, all the D have been playing really well, but that is one that I'm sure he'd like to have back. And it'd be interesting to see what Paul Coffey had to say if we actually had the truth serum on him.
So I want to bring something up and just flag it. We'll put it in my notable section, Strutty. Reviews. Reviews, reviews, reviews. The Oilers were ninjas at this last year, the last couple years, under Jay Woodcroft and Jeremy Kupal. Now, you will remember Jeremy Kupal moved on from the organization, made the decision to move back to Kelowna and spend some time with family. They didn't part ways with him. This was his decision. He was a ninja back there in that video room, and remember how good they were with those calls. The ref will give you so much time to take a quick look, let your guy make a call. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Early signs this year are they're not going to be quite as efficient as this, as they were before. And I think maybe tonight we saw some of that with their decision not to challenge the no goal.
50-50 coin toss.
I think it was.
I don't know. I don't, because unless you're sure of it, when the call on the ice is against what you want, I don't think I can make that. I can make that call. And it's just because I can't, like, offside, I think it's clearer to make that call. But when you're looking at that, the goal interference, he was outside the blue paint. It bothers me, and here we go. I'm sure Zuby and I are going to get into a fist fight over this, but if a goalie comes out of the blue paint, I think you should be able to hold your ground. You can't run them, but I think you should be able to hold your ground or skate through there. He is now outside of his world. You have to stay inside your little cage in the blue paint. I feel strongly about that, Zubi. I don't know what you think. And I'm not talking about running guys. I'm just talking about if he comes out and bumps you, you bump into him. I mean, where are you supposed to go? Do you have to go now out? Like, is there another, you know, half moon I don't know about?
No, it's not. You're not fair game. Like, I don't think you should be fair game to be hit like a body check. But I agree with you. I try to play always within my crease. My movement's pretty limited anyway. But no, I think you're right. Actually, once you're outside the blue paint, incidental contact should be allowed. It should be part of the game, and it shouldn't affect a quote unquote interference call.
Very measured thought, Zubi. I would say well said, but you sounded like hell saying it. But good, strong point by you. Struds, this is the thing about the review. Getting back to the review. So you say it's a 50-50 call, right? Should we, shouldn't we? Well, one of the thoughts I think you need to have is, how do I feel about my team's ability to kill a penalty if I get this wrong? I think as a coach, you need to lean on that a little bit. What's the point of having a badass penalty kill like they've had if you can't take a chance on some 50-50 reviews and trust your guys to kill it off if you're wrong?
Well, I hear that. I hear that. There's no doubt about it, but I have no idea in those goalie interference calls if it's going to be it. That one, I was pretty sure I probably would have called on. I probably would have made the call to try to challenge on it.
I would have too. The goaltender initiated the, it is so crystal clear.
The player was not in the crease
and the goaltender came out to initiate the contact himself. The player did nothing to continue the contact. He didn't move in the goalie's direction to make it worse. Yeah. That was all goalie driven.
Yeah, but I can't be sure. And so you're right. You're not playing the Golden Vegas Knights or Vegas Golden Knights, whatever they're called, or Winnipeg or any of these top teams. So I don't know. And maybe Knobloch is not that guy. I don't get the sense that Knobloch's a real risk taker. Like, I think he's the guy that locks in on GIC at 4% or 3% or 2% and has it for 100 years. Like, I think that's who he is. Whereas I think old Woody was a little bit more rambunctious. He was buying the penny stocks, trying to hit a homer.
We got some great stuff on the stream here about Zubi. Zubi sounds like Demi Moore, says Gomez. Bulge 63 Bulge says, boys, have mercy on Zubi. Don't tag him in again. Richmond says, Zubi going to make us an offer we can't refuse.
Earlier, Obelisk said Zubi with a two-pack-a-day voice.
Oil fan says, Rashog just cooked Zubi and made him turn the camera off. I didn't mean, was I rude again to Zubi there, Struds?
I listened back to the pod where he was telling us about the great weather in Kelowna, and you absolutely cut him off before there was no pause. And Zubi, I'm in your corner. There was no pause there. He just shut you right down, and someone had to advocate for you.
I appreciate it, pal. It's all good. Like I said, it was an expected pause.
Bitumen says we want to see him swinging on a wrecking ball. Marley Cyrus. Okay. You Can Use Services. I'm not forgetting their segment for a third podcast in a row. We appreciate their partnership too much. Let's get to the relentless player of the game. There's only one player to go with here, Struddy. I'm assuming you're going to go with the guy I'm thinking, but this is your choice. You run the content. But remember, UCAN is a nonprofit charitable organization in Edmonton that is relentless in assisting young people get out of harm's way and transition into employment or back into education. Visit UCAN.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. So many to choose from, bud. Who are you going with?
Well, I think you're going to tell me you're thinking Stuart Skinner. Is that your thinking?
Well, yeah, I guess we don't have to go with an Oiler, though.
No. Well, I actually am going to go with an Oiler, and the person who gets it all the time, but for a different reason. He had two goal disallowed and missed an empty net. This guy could have had a hat trick tonight. Zach Hyman would not give up. He was on a mission to try to score a goal, and he could not get it. Like, you want to talk about relentless. That's the very definition, Shogger. Relentlessness.
I like that. That's your kind of bizarre, twisted take on what the point of this segment is. But that's a gooder right there. I know you're going to go off on the review process. My sense is, from the text I got from you. But what about the offside? Like, just... you know, we can debate the call right now, and then you can do your pissing and moaning later.
I didn't feel like we got a really clear view on it. If I'm being completely impartial, I would at first blush say I thought it was offside. I had to look hard. Like, I'm talking really hard to see that. And so to expect the linesman to see that in real time, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree that it wasn't conclusive. But we're gonna have lots more on that review situation coming up a little bit later on in the podcast. Jack Michaels with the line of the night on the broadcast. The game was like squeezing a full tube of cookie dough through a thin plastic straw, which I thought that was well said.
Well, I bet he's done that.
That is not fair. He's not here to defend himself. Sorry, I'm telling you said that.
Well, what did I say last time? And he was so mad. I said, What did you say?
Yeah. And I ran right to him and told him what you said. Right, and I will do the same thing again tonight.
It was about the golfing. You talked about Jack.
If I golfed like him, I'd take 2 weeks off and then I'd quit for good.
Yeah. That's what you said. That was a really good line. I literally we went to commercial and I was like texting him right then and there. And then I wonder why you don't want to be my friend, Strutty. What's the name of the Simpson, Marge Simpson's sisters? That's who he's sounding like a little bit like that tonight, Zoobs.
Yeah, Patty and Selma.
Oh, jeez.
All right, lots more to come on the podcast. Our takeaways segment brought to you by Martin Motorsports is on deck. And a reminder that Jason Strudwick's appearance on the podcast. Actually, you know what? We're changing that. Chris Sabunia's relentless pursuit of excellence in his job is brought to you by Kinprint, helping you find creative ways to promote your brand. High quality apparel with top of the line brands. Check them out. They're a great local family company. We appreciate their partnership. Visit kinprint.ca. When we come back, more Zuby talking and takeaways. Say goodbye to unruly hair and hello to a smooth and silky back in minutes with Backscape. Shave your back solo with no mess with Backscape's water-resistant long handle and patented six-blade design, leaving you with a no-mess shaving experience all in less than 5 minutes. Shop now for 40% off select kits just for you, our Got Your Back listeners. Use promo code GYBPOD on checkout and make 2024 your year to elevate your grooming routine. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
If you own or operate a business, you know the value of a great employee. Just ask Shauger. Pathfind is here to help you find your next star player to help take your business to the next level. Pathfind can help with recruitment, career transition, leadership coaching. They truly have your whole team covered. Building you a championship caliber roster, find your team's path forward at pathfind.ca.
All right, time now for your takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports, your one-stop marine and recreation shop in business for close to 60 years and stocked up with the best brands in the world like Can-Am, Ski-Doo, Widescape, and Zero to industry-leading marine brands like Supra, Moomba, Crestliner, South Bay, and more. They help you live your life at full throttle. Check them out at martinmotorsports.ca. Strutty, the snow is falling, buddy. The snow is falling, and that means the kids will play in the snow with some of Martin Motorsports stuff.
I love it. Good for everybody. It's great.
We still need to get out. Chris has it on offer to us. Just waiting for a little more snow. We're going to get out and play with some of their toys and go have a fantastic time. I love Ski-Doos, man. The power, it almost rattles me. You know, I can only get it going so fast before I get a little panicky and stop. And then I see other people doing it, and I'm like, no. I'm not that guy that can open it right up.
No, I'm driving Miss Daisy. There's no doubt about it. I will not. Give me the least powerful one. Give me the one for the old ladies or the young kids. That's what I need.
That's awesome.
Less power. I'm asking for less power.
Less power. Yeah. Strud shows up and he's like, do you have something in the 30 to 40 year old range by chance in your used selection?
That's all I need.
Yeah. They do have used equipment for you as well down at Martin Motorsports. Struds, we're going to talk a little bit about Connor Bedard's injury in the Chicago Blackhawks. But I do think we should focus a little bit on the big picture here on the standings and kind of this turn of events with the Los Angeles Kings falling off the edge of a cliff here. I think they're six in a row. And so there was a time when it wasn't even a discussion about the Edmonton Oilers taking a run at one of the top three spots. It was like, it felt like it was, you know, the moon away. Well, if you look at the standings right now, bud, the Los Angeles Kings have played 37 games and they have 47 points and they're in third in the division. The Edmonton Oilers have played 37 games. They got 43 points. They're 4 points back of third in the division with the way that this has gone.
Crazy. You know, and I think we all collectively forget how long the season is, right? There's just a ton of points available. There's ups and downs for every team. Injuries, trades, bad bounces, you know, all that stuff. Puck luck, as people like to call it. There's all that stuff that happens over the course of the year. And you know, it's so hard, but I also refer back to a lot of what Jay said. I'm just worried about the next game. Just worried about the next game. And for the Oilers, that's kind of what they've done. They've built their game back up. And when you do that, you rattle all these points off or all these wins, and then you kind of get yourself back into, you know, contention for a playoff spot. Then you get into a playoff spot. And now, so you look up, you're like, holy geez, we actually have a chance to catch the Kings who have, like you mentioned, have a really tough time. So they're kind of sliding down. Now I think they're a good team. They're going to find they'll level out. But in the meantime, the Oilers have narrowed that gap because the Oilers aren't going to have eight game winning streak, three losses, you know, all season, but they have at least got themselves back in the conversation. And all he wants is a chance. Cause what do they got games left? They got a ton of over half their games left still. And they got a chance now to earn a spot higher up in a legit playoff spot.
There was a bit of a crisis conscience when the Oilers started turning it around, right? It was so bad early. Then they turned it around, then they changed the coach and they start winning games. And right here on this podcast, we were like, how much credit are we giving the coach here? Like, were they ready? There's no way they were that bad. And how much of a difference, Kenny? We weren't sure. I'm calling it right now, bud. I'm calling it right now. He gets a crap ton of credit. He has to. We're past the point of like, oh, they would have been this good anyway. They would have. Yeah. He's got 2 8-game winning streaks in a 19-game stretch with a brand new team. He has been subtle, so it's not like he came in and made all these massive changes that are easy to pin credit to him. But subtlety is a skill, and he has it mastered. He knows the levers to pull and the buttons to push in a more subtle way. I'm giving him huge credit for this team being where they are.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's going to be a rebound, but he, you know, it's gone past a rebound, right? They're no longer rebounding. They're playing really well, and they've pushed themselves into a pretty incredible position. Let's see what happens now, because I think there's still a few pieces he has to figure out. I think the defense are playing well. The goaltenders have solidified their spot. The penalty kill is miles better than it was before. The power play is kind of where it was. You know, it's not, I don't know that it's any better or worse. It's just kind of, it's good. It's really good. But there are some individual players he still has to find a way to get going. And you know, Ken Holland, I don't know if he was on Bob Stauffer's show today. I heard it. I may have heard it there give him credit. He was interviewed by, and just, he talked about that after the top line, and this is Ken Holland on Bob Stauffer's show to give him credit there on 630 Ched, was, you know, after the top line, they're trying to figure it out, right? That next nine, they're trying to find chemistry. And I think that's really fair. So they have found some chemistry in the second line. Unfortunately, they've kind of robbed their third line to make a second line go. And I think that's a bit of a dangerous game for anyone. So what happens ultimately when these guys, I think Holloway, Connor Brown are two huge things for me. They, if they're going to have long-term success, they got to get those two guys going, Shager.
Penner's Pancakes chimes in with a good point. Coffee, major factor. Completely agree with that. And you know what? I'm going to add to that. Mark Stewart, major factor. He's been the one in charge of that penalty kill, and that's a big reason why they've turned it around. So, but remember, that's on Chris Knobloch to come in and empower that guy and say, I believe in you, and give it to him. That's part of the subtlety of his approach, right? Not overdoing it, not overhandling, not trying to be in charge of absolutely everything. That's part of the way he finds success, and I respect that. As a guy that manages people, as I do here on the podcast, because I am your boss, I am Rob Brown's boss, I am Zuby's boss, and I am Steve's boss, I'm basically a CEO, and I know what it's like to have to make personnel decisions like that. And as a high-powered guy in charge that I am and that he is, I respect what he's doing, Streddy.
I think you've done an incredible job of surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you. I give you a lot of credit, honestly. That's a compliment, man. Zuby, am I wrong?
Yeah. Oh, Streddy. Okay, the main point of takeaways was going to be to dig in on Connor Bedard. You need me to? I'll give you a second. You can laugh at your joke.
Sorry, I'm not,
let me know when you're done.
I'm done.
Zuby, I'll take another second. You always have the follow-up chuckle. There it is.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Zuby. I want to talk about Connor Bedard because he's got this injury that's happened. It's really unfortunate. I would have loved to have watched him play tonight. We all would have, right? Luke Gazdick, to give him some credit on the pregame show, made a really interesting point about the different ways that teams handle injured players. He recalled that back when Connor McDavid got an injury in his rookie year, Gazdick was part of the team, how they made a really conscious effort, though it was a long-term injury, to make McDavid part of things, to have him around the team. He actually went on some road trips that an injured player might normally not go on, just to stay there and just to stay engaged. And Gazdick's point was he hopes the Hawks are making similar decisions with Connor Bedard and letting him stay part of things. Struds, you've seen this over your years in the league, the different ways that injured players are handled. Some teams want them there. Some teams want them as far away as possible. What would your sense be on the right way to handle Bedard in this situation?
Well, let's talk about what it's like to be an injured player. It's like that you're on a fast-moving train. It stops. They kick you out, and the train just takes off without you. That's what it's like.
That's a great analogy.
Well, everything keeps going. You're out. Stradbrook, okay, no problem. We'll just bring another body in and keep going. Doesn't mean we don't love you anymore. Doesn't mean we don't think we need you. But right now you're not helping us, so you're off, and we'll find someone else that can help you out. So the first time you go through the injury, it can be very lonely, because you're not on the road with the team anymore. No, he's a young guy living in a big city. I'm sure he has some friends. Maybe his parents flew out to him or whatever, but it's a very lonely time. And so I always felt, especially as I got older, I tried to bring those guys back in. Hey, Shager, come in. Come on, let's hang out in the dressing room. Come here before practice, or do you want to go to a movie for dinner? Going on the road, I get it. It's kind of boring. Like, if you want to know the truth, if you're not playing, it's not super exciting. You're around the guy, the guys are getting ready. But I think it's slightly different maybe here with Bedard, because I'm not a doctor, but it's a fractured jaw. I believe that at some point he's going to be able to start working out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but that's no good though. Like, you're sitting on the plane like, hey guys, have a good game tonight. I hope it goes well for you.
No, but what I'm saying is that he'll be able to move it around. It's like, I don't think there's much rehab. Is he rehabbing? I mean, it's just kind of, he's doing his thing. So I think it might be a slightly different. It's not like he blew his knee out and he has got to do a bunch of stuff like that. So, I think it's very important for them to make a veteran say, hey, we want come in the dressing room before practice or before games. Come, like, we want you around. We want to be a part of it. He's the future of that team for the next 15 years.
Connor McDavid asked about the unfortunate timing and situation with Connor Bedard's injury. And again, McDavid on fire post-game tonight had this to say.
Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. I've been in his shoes before. There's no other way to say other than, it's a bad feeling. But, things pass. He'll get healthy. He'll play at the top of his level, again this year, so just stick with it and be positive and be a good teammate and enjoy the recovery process, because it can be fun and it can be exciting, to get healthy again.
I'll actually disagree with Connor. I was injured one time when I was in Vancouver. I'll disagree with that. It's a bad feeling. So at the same time I was injured in Vancouver, I was young. I was maybe 23, 24. Mattias Olin, a really good Swedish defenseman, a guy I loved, was also injured. Alexander McGillney, an absolute legend in the game, had the same injury that I did as the back. He was out. And yeah. Mark Messier, my idol growing up, was out as well. So the team went on the road, and the four of us were rehabbing together. I'm like, is this heaven? Like three of my favorite people, I get to hang out with them like 2-3 hours, 4 hours a day. And then Messier would be like, you want to come over for dinner? Do I want to come over for dinner? What do you want me to bring? Chip and dip? Do you want me to bring flowers, a framed picture? Like, what do you want? I was so happy. When we all got healthy, I was like, oh, does this mean we're not hanging out anymore?
It's really unfortunate that Messier didn't do for you what he did for so many over the years and take you suit shopping and get you squared away on that front, Struds. You missed that lesson.
Well, he blew the budget on my first goal. Dinner when he took me to a diner in LA for my big first goal.
A diner, just like some dive.
He said, this is the most popular diner in LA, and I'm like, oh, this is where we're going to eat. I just scored my first goal. I know you have 500, but I mean, you know, we got to start with one to get to 100, big guy,
and 45 million in the bank. So, answer this honestly, if you'd have been a first round pick on that team, would you have gone somewhere nicer?
I don't know. I think he liked me. I think he really did like me. We had a really good, before the game, you know, you do a half moon and you pass the puck around, you know, like there's a guy in the corner beside the net and he passes up to someone, then you shoot. So Mess, it all go through Mess. And I don't know why I always kind of would get fired up and I'd be like, come on, big guy, whip it over here. So he'd take his first shot. Then after a while, the second shot, he'd pass it as hard as he could to me. And thinking I'd blow it up, I'd catch it, and then I'd just send a bomb in on the goalie. I always get it. He loved it. Like, he kept passing to me. And then it was like, I'm like, this is my idol. I'm playing catch with my idol. You know, it's amazing. It must be like when I run hockey camps and people come to mine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of just jaw-dropped youngsters going, wow, is that the guy that played with Taylor Hall? Great question here from Davin as we wrap the segment here. What if Messier had asked you to bring cashews?
I didn't feel strongly.
Pick up a bag of cashews on your way if you don't mind. We're running low and we're going to have those out.
I would have brought Messier anything, for me to be honest, but I wasn't as strongly embedded in my nut rankings then as I am now. That's about 25 years ago. So I've developed these nut rankings over 25 years of exposure to nuts.
Ranking Your Nuts by Jason Strudwick. Okay, that'll wrap up Takeaways, brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Still ahead on the podcast, ask us anything. Oh, you're going to want to stick around for that. I encourage nice long questions for Zuby to have to choke his way through. Strudy's World is coming up, and right after the break, courtesy of our friends at Backscape, we're going to take a lap.
Are you ready to elevate your moving experience? Trusted for over 100 years, Ferguson Moving and Storage are your partners in relocation, ensuring your journey is smooth and stress-free. And say goodbye to surprises with Ferguson's transparent flat rate pricing. Contact them now for a free moving quote and use a promo code Ferguson to receive $100 off your next move. Visit FergusonMoving.com and let them lift your expectations.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
You're muted there, Chief. You're forcing me to jump in here.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. Amateur.
That's like two out of three podcasts. I was just saying, Strutty, I love our live stream. Like you, I don't think you follow it during the show. Every once in a while, I'll glance over and take a look. And the conversations that our listeners and viewers are having among themselves. So just randomly, I look over and I see Mike Smith say, "What's the secret ingredient to good pork sausage patties? Like a McMuffin? Fennel, brown sugar, rubbed sage?" In our Got Your Back post-game chat, Struds, that's what seems we have important. Curated here.
Seems important. Seems very important. Now, under important filings, I want to make note that Stuart Skinner today, after this game, I believe, he broke through an over 900 save percentage.
Oh.
0.901. And I don't know, I'm fascinated, but he's at 47. He's tied for 46, actually, with another goalie that we may be familiar with, Jake Ottinger. So Jake gets a lot of loving, and he's tied with him now at 46.
Do you know what that is, Strutty? That point you just made? You know what that is, bud?
What? Notable?
That's notable. You're starting to do it too.
I think it is. You know what? I don't know. I'm not usually a goalie stat guy, but I don't know if it's Zuby rubbing off on me or I'm not sure what it is, but I just feel like we should follow and monitor this, see how he goes.
I agree. All right, time to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the product that is taking the online world by storm right now. It's everywhere. Get rid of unwanted back hair by yourself with Backscape. Water-resistant, rechargeable shaver coupled with the long handle lets you take care of business on your own. You can shave in any direction with no bumps or cuts. It's easy and awesome. And they got a big sale going on, 30 to 50% off. Visit backscape.com, that's BAKscape.com, and choose from a variety of packages that can be delivered right to your door. Zuby, did we forget the Weiss Johnson jingle earlier? Did I blow through it?
You just kept going. I had my finger on the switch here, and you went right. You were so excited to get those Connor clips going.
Amateur hour. We should probably just do it then, hey?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, just push the button there.
You want to count it in or something?
Yeah, okay. Weiss Johnson jingle in 12, 11, 3, 2, 1.
Weiss Johnson, Weiss Johnson, whoa, we're proud to be local.
Strutty, where are we going tonight with Take a Lap, my friend?
Start New Jersey. The Devils, you know, are, I guess, by point percentage in a playoff spot, but they're chasing down a couple teams, including like Tampa Bay and stuff, and they're just outside but some games at hand. But they were dealt a bit of an injury blow here Friday night. Jack Hughes got injured. It sounds like, according to the coach, he's out weeks, not months, which is a really good thing.
Big break.
Big break. Now, remember earlier in the year, he had that funky hit, and we thought he'd be done for a year. And he only missed five games. He's having a great season points-wise, and now he's going to be out again weeks, not months. And I made this point when they drafted him, and I've been continuing to make it. A smaller, slighter player is playing heavy minutes. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be successful, but a smaller, slighter player at playing those minutes, kind of featured centerman, because the other guy is Nico Hischier. It's not like they have a Lowry out there taking all those big things. So I wonder, you know, if that long-term is going to be difficult for the Devils to compete. They can play fast, but when things get heavy, how does it go from? So it's good news because I like watching them play, but long-term, how does that work for the Devils?
Who do we think of other smaller-ish but crazy skilled, high-pedigree centers? You know, like as wingers, it feels like there have been more of them, and it's you can kind of manage the size thing as a winger, but you get into these center matchups deep in the playoffs with teams that are, you know, coming at you with Byfield and Kopitar and Dubois and... You know, and it's, I think it's a fair question. He's such a good player. And through 82 games, man, you take him all day, every day, 99 points last season. Like, he's a brilliant player. But in that 7-game grind to win it all with him as your marquee guy, I think he can still do it, but it's a little different.
Yeah. So let's say he plays Barkov in the playoffs, right? Or, you don't have to go through some of those teams. I'm not really pulling them up just right now, but it's just harder because the other top centermen are skilled as well, right? But they're bigger. So I don't really know what point I'm making here, other than it'll be interesting to see what they can do with two smallish centers as one and two on a very smart, fast team in New Jersey. Moving along, Keith Tkachuk is not playing hockey anymore. His son, Matthew Tkachuk, is playing for Florida. They've rattled off 8 wins.
Hey, wait a second. Just hang on. Did you start that by accidentally saying Keith Tkachuk?
I did.
And then you smoothly transitioned?
I did. That's how you do it.
He's not playing hockey anymore?
I know. Well, I was thinking about Keith. I was thinking about Keith, and then Matt, his name came out. But anyways.
Keith Tkachuk is not playing hockey anymore.
The long and short of it is Florida has matched what the Oilers have done. They've rattled off 8 wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Tkachuk has 2 games in a row with 4 points. Tonight, 3 goals and an assist. This guy's kind of back to his ways, but it's crazy. Now, they're a little bit further up the standings than the Oilers, but you know they're still chasing Boston in that division. They're second place, and Toronto's not that far behind, and they have a couple games at hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of showed where they maybe haven't had the start they wanted. But 8 games in a row, you're winning that. That's pretty good. Then it's crazy is Seattle's got 7 wins as well in a row. So you have 2 teams with 8. One with 7. Now, there may be other Shogar. Those are the 3 I noticed scanning it quickly. But crazy, man. Like, that's a lot of winning by 3 teams.
Yeah, you got the Winnipeg Jets at 7.
There you go.
What else we got here? Florida Panthers at 8. Leafs are 4. What other streaks we got going on here? And there's still some games going on. Jets at 7. Oilers 8. Kraken 7. Yeah, those are the main ones. Yeah, that is a little nuts. Tkachuk's hat trick tonight was interesting. Had the really nice snipe, like a beautiful, nice shot, nice snipe. The other one was a fantastic tip right in the middle of the ice. And it was a natural hattie that he got, hey, because he added the empty netter.
Right.
So the old natural hattie. I don't Nothing think the natural than, hat trick gets enough love in the game.
It's nice. But what I love
just
is
just notable.
An empty netter for the hat trick, that's got to be a good feeling. Got to be a good feeling. I love that. I never had that experience, but I think it'd be a great feeling.
Here's a hot take for you. The natural hat trick doesn't get enough hype. It's like an afterthought. No, it was a natural hat trick. When a guy gets a natural hat trick, that should be more notable than a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Oh, okay. You just, jeez, you just lost me. I would take, you know, 3. No, I would take anything less than I love a Gordie Howe hat trick. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. I love Gordie Howe hat tricks.
Neither are we.
But
in terms of degree of difficulty, it's not even close.
Are you kidding me? You got to do one each way. You got to fight. How many the guys score hat tricks?
But it's really easy to make that happen. My point is, like, the fight itself is difficult, sure.
Yeah.
But how many guys get a goal and an assist? How often does that? I bet that happened 7 times in the NHL tonight. 8-9 times happened in the NHL tonight.
Connor and Leon did it tonight.
So all somebody needed to do was just go and pick a fight, get into a fight, drop the gloves and fight. Now there's your Gordie Howe. How hard was that last one to get?
They don't want to fight. Well, how hard is it to get an empty netter for a hat trick?
Well, how hard is it to get 3 in a row? Goals. Really freaking hard, Strutty.
I'd take anything. The Gordie Howe, that's my one. I have a few regrets looking back, but I would have loved to have a Gordie Howe hat trick. I would have that printed on a t-shirt that day.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Where on your list of regrets does growing your hair out super long that one time? I think it's your profile pic on our podcast.
I know who chose that. Someone sent that out, and I'm not complaining because it is kind of reflect a different time in my life when I was more artistic than I am today.
It was noted on the podcast tonight, and I'm not making fun because I mean I'm suffering too. Someone said your hair looks like it's kind of coming back a little bit, like it's rallying.
No, I know. You guys, people chirp me all the time, but it's fine. But I know what's actually going on inside my head and on top of it. And I'm liking what I'm seeing. Really?
We're not sure we like what we're hearing. Okay, that was Take a Lap, brought to you by our good buddies over at Backscape. When we come back, very quick break, and then we've got Strutty's World. He's going to do some pissing and moaning, and it's going to be worth it. Stick around. The Edmonton Sport and Social Club's spring season is set to go in May, and registration is just around the corner. Team up with your pals to play in slow pitch, beach volleyball, outdoor soccer, ultimate frisbee, and even cornhole leagues to keep the spring months full of excitement. Spring leagues begin in May. Registration opens on February 8th. Visit EdmontonSportsClub.com for more details.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximum Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
You know what's always awkward is that little pause between when your goofy laugh stops and the music starts. It's just like a little half second of silence there that where we're all just reflecting on your laugh.
Yeah, I feel quite comfortable in that space. Are you not comfortable in silence, Shocker? Maybe
I'm working on it.
Going on with you?
I talk quite a bit, Struds, and so when things go quiet, I tend to want to fill the void. I'm that guy.
Well, let's talk about this another time on the pod and kind of explore it. See if we can help you out.
Yeah,
comfortable in silence.
I would appreciate that support. I need to embrace the silence for sure. I do. Let's just let it breathe here for a second. Doobie, kill the music. Yes, that's bothersome. I don't like that at all. Time for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They got locations in Calgary and Edmonton. Whether you're a homeowner, contractor, builder, DLR is the most reliable source for vinyl fence. Opened in 2005, and they're not going anywhere. They are consistent. Unmatched service, high-quality North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Okay, Struds, we do have a clip here to tee up Strutty's World. Connor McDavid was asked post-game about that disallowed goal because of the offside. Now, I normally would never go near a clip that's a minute long, but McDavid was super talkative after the game. So we're going to hear from Connor McDavid, and then Struds, you will launch after that. Where is the sound?
I mean, obviously, if it takes you 15 minutes to determine if it's offside or not, it probably doesn't really matter. I talked to the linesman after. Ultimately, it's not their call, I guess. You know, obviously, they said it came down from the league. But, you know, you zoom in, you keep zooming in until you can't zoom in anymore. And I guess it's offside. So, you know what? These are calls that change games, and ultimately it didn't go our way. You know, that was a big call. It would have really, really hurt them. And I thought it should have been onside. I mean, it's kind of possession too, right? Like the argument of possession, that whole debate can start again. It was such a close one. You'd like to see it. You know, I think the NHL uses the analogy dead wrong, right? If it's dead wrong or something like that, I don't know what they say. Like they want it to be clear and obvious, right? That one's certainly not clear and obvious.
Strutty, reviews.
It's way too long. It's way too long. I just don't know how else to say it. I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, okay, well, it was my naked eye. I thought it was really close. It proved that it was ultimately very close. But what you're asking to do, if you can't see it in real time, I don't think there should be overturned. So this is what my suggestion is. As soon as the linesman or ref walk into any kind of the booth, or I guess the penalty box in this case, the clock starts. You have 5 minutes. And you cannot watch in slow motion. You can only watch it in real time. In real time. That'll speed it up. Because Connor's right. You just keep zooming in, and you keep, it was offside, it wasn't offside. You're kind of messing with yourself. It ruins the tempo of the game. There's nothing worse than a review that sucks the life and energy out of this wasn't a good hockey game, but others have been good. So I think, Shogger, I'm here to propose 5 minute max on it. And it starts as soon as they walk in, as soon as they get in there and take off their tight helmets, it starts. And then for offsides, though, I'm being clear, you have to watch it in real time. Because otherwise, if the refs can't see it in real time, how can we slow it down like that? So it's time.
Okay. I understand your frustration. You're a busy guy. You got things to do. You don't like sitting around, right? I understand that. And while on a, what night is it? Tuesday? A Tuesday night in January, a snowy Tuesday night in January, in kind of a portion of the schedule, I get that frustration, right? Sure, this should only be 5 minutes. You know, how would you feel about a five-minute time limit on a goal that's going to decide a Stanley Cup championship? Like any rule changes you want to make, Strutty, you got to take those and drop those into the important moments when you aren't, you know, frustrated because, you know, you've got a garage to clean, a podcast to do, kids to get to bed. How do you feel about that rule applied in game seven of a cup final? What do you do when that buzzer goes off? What now? Well, we ran out of time.
Yeah. So how often does that happen? How often are you talking about this happening?
Well, what if it happens? You have to allow for the idea that it might happen at the worst time. Look at the foot in the crease thing with Brett Hull all those years ago.
Well, that was clear. That was the clearest one. They just didn't call it right. You know, obviously there was a conspiracy theory to get that team a championship. Like that's clear. We all know
that.
Don't
be that guy. Don't be the conspiracy theory guy. Goodness.
So this is what I'll say. Your first instinct when you're watching it, that's what you go with. Bang. Because you keep watching
all the reviews.
So if you want to talk about goalie interference reviews, watch it once or twice, boom, three times. You see it. Okay. Now this is my decision. We move on. And you can interpret the rule. When you read that rule, it's as clear as mud. I don't really know what I played. I don't know what goalie interference is. And we've seen in the playoffs and it's unsure and it's unclear what it is. So put a 5 minute limit on it. And then everyone knows they have to be ready, prepared to make the decisions ASAP. And because I'm not even just talking about me. How do you think the players on the bench feel? How long was that review take? It was, I don't know if it was 15 minutes, like Connor said, but it was long. Sitting there just breaking the rhythm of the game. Like, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get going here.
But the thing about offside is that it can be black and white. 99.9% of the time is pretty black and white. If you take the time, you can, and I don't agree that you're not allowed to watch an offside in slow motion. Come on. Slow it down so that you can see, is there white beside the puck or not? Oh, there is. Okay, that's offside. Like, you have to use the technology if you're going to use the technology. Why would you only use half of it?
But why? Like, if a ref or if a linesman can't see it in real time, are we expecting them to be superhuman and slow it down to the 1/100th second of a frame to be able to make a call? Like, at some point, this is human. It's a human game. So I think that we're asking them to be superhuman and they're not. So then we fall back on the technology to make them superhuman. I don't like that. I think sport is human. It's right. It's mistakes. It's good plays. And I don't like that. We're asking them to be something they're unable to be, which is superhuman.
VA says it's about getting the call right in all capital letters. Zuby, hop in here, my man. You can gather some responses to Strutty's world and maybe that's where we can start our Ask Us Anything. So you can grab, there's some really good ones that are coming in right now. Let's get to Ask Us Anything brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Home is a feeling and one of the biggest investments you're ever going to make. Rini takes on a select number of clients to give them a more personalized service. See why she was rated the number one individual agent this past year with her skilled negotiation and five-star client satisfaction. Serving Sherwood Park, Edmonton, and surrounding area, call Rini at 780-994-0280. Tried to spare you as much as I could tonight, Zuby, but this is your big moment. This is what all the cough drops were for. This is the payoff moment for you. Gather all the strength that you have and let's bring us Ask Us Anything.
Well, it may not surprise you that I'm gonna go right, personally, I'm going right down the middle on you guys, which is that I think it absolutely should have a time limit. I think it should be way less than 2 minutes. I think it should be, than five. It should be a minute, 90 seconds, 2 minutes tops. But I do think they should be able to use slow motion to look at it. And then that iPad, when they get the first view up there, the refs on the iPad, the clock starts. And when the clock ends, that thing turns off. And if they can't decisively change it,
what if there's technical issues?
Well,
what if the crew the mothership only gets two replays to them and didn't have a chance to load up the third one because the truck didn't get to, guys, come on.
Well, that is the
problem. Real about the logistics of getting this done.
They don't, but you don't see them standing there tapping their feet very much, waiting for, oh, we don't have another view yet. We're just sitting here listening to Matchbox 20 on our headsets for a little while or something like that. Anyway, McFosidal said 5 minutes. LOL, that's too long. Minute Max Reaper said 90 seconds. There was another one from, Shane Matheson says, regardless of right or wrong, the game gets destroyed. That's his feeling. Leaky 37 said the boys could have gone to the dressing room in that time. So, I think
Shane Matheson said he had time to go to the bathroom and make a taco. So Shane, very much, you got a food theme going on here on the podcast. What else was there tonight, Streddy or Zuby?
Zuby. Okay, let's go here. Bull Squash says, I'm going to get in closer and get quieter here. Do you think now is a good time to add a small shakeup to the lineup? Example, bring in Gagne and or Lavoie soft landing. If you're thinking a loss, maybe on the horizon.
Great question. I like that, Streds, because he doesn't change a winning lineup, but what about one that didn't play great and won?
Yeah, they still won. No, I think you got to reward people for success. And when you pull them out, it sends the wrong message. They're going to lose at some point here. Although the next two games, they don't feel like losses, but I would be against that. Yes.
Obelisk said, thank God they started Skinner tonight instead of Pickard. Were we surprised? And two, does this mean that Pickard is starting? The next one is at Detroit. Stretch.
I go back. I would have played Pickard the last time they played Chicago. I would have played him tonight. Because I'm looking long term. I'm thinking game 83. And maybe the coach doesn't have that advantage right now. So I think he's got to play Detroit for sure if you're Picard. Or Pickard, and then probably come back with Montreal being a Stu Skinner on Saturday night.
That'll be, if they beat Detroit, that'll be the game where they're trying to grab that record, right? So 9 wins is the record. They'll be looking to break it against the Montreal Canadiens on the weekend if it goes that way, I believe.
But I'll say this. I don't think the team cares about the record of wins.
Oh, I agree. I'm just...
I don't think notable. That they're basing their play on who's playing based on that.
No, it's notable.
But it is notable. But, Stu Skinner's already, I think he's the top 8 or top 9 minutes played goalies in the league. You're getting in a dangerous area there for a guy that is not accustomed to that kind of workload.
Obelisk said, I get nervous when I see turnovers creeping back into their game on a regular basis. Bobo Fett followed that up by saying, Hawks own the neutral zone, feasted on poor Oilers zone exit work. Is that a one-off or cause for concern, Shreds?
I mentioned that as well earlier. I think that they are having trouble getting out. They weren't clean. Their passes weren't clean. And what I've noticed lately is players making long stretch passes standing still out of their zone. That is a recipe for disaster. You got to be moving and making plays. The only guy in history that could do it was Chris Pronger, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, maybe both of you guys can chime in on this. People really want to, they're really bringing up the lots of different rumored possible deadline acquisitions in the forward spot. So I'm going to throw out 4 or 5 names here. And let's just say maybe irregardless of cost, who do you see fitting into this team best? So here are some of the names. We got Travis Konecny, Tarasenko, Adam Henrik, Boone Jenner, and I also just saw Jordan Eberle. So let's go with those 5.
Well, Jordan Eberle fits into that top 6 right wing spot. Allows you to fix, have a do-over on the Connor Brown top 6 forward thing. He's familiar here. He knows the group. Smaller, but they got enough size in their top 6 Streds. I don't hate those that suggestion. Money aside.
Yeah, I think that's unlikely with where Seattle's at. I mean... Are they going to fall out of it in the next 6 weeks?
Yeah. Strutty with the emergency mute button.
Quick,
go to the YouTube button. Video. Wow. You see that sneeze.
Yeah. Wow. I've been saying for a while, Adam Henrik. I like him. So this is, I've been saying this for like 2 years. Now I'd have to go and really look into what he's done. Some of his stats, all that stuff.
Sure.
But, I loved him 2 years ago. He's 2 years older. I think the problem is he makes quite a bit of money. I want to say he's around 4 or 5 million off the top of my head.
Yeah. 21 points in 39 games this year. He's got 10 goals.
Yeah. And what is his price tag is, I think it's I'll take a look, but I'm pretty sure it's high. So
I'll look for you. Yep.
You're looking at a situation where you're trying to add a player that makes quite a bit of money.
5.8.
Yeah. So, you got to split that twice. And I know you told me not to look at that, Zuby, but I can't help it.
Yeah, that's a tough one right there.
That's Vladimir part of the, I mean, it's part of the equation.
Yeah, sorry, Vladimir Tarasenko, I mean, you know, the goal-scoring pedigree is there. Don't necessarily hate that. Somebody mentioned Ryan O'Reilly on the stream a little bit earlier. I don't know what the acquisition cost would be there. Like, here's the thing about the Oilers and their cap, and I know we don't necessarily want to have a conversation about the cap again tonight, but it's going to be tight. Like, they're not going to have a tremendous amount of room. And, you know, every day they have Kemp up, it's almost 20 grand that disappears off what they can spend at the trade deadline. It's bleeding away their cap space to go out and acquire somebody by having an extra player on the roster like this. And you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, you spend 2 weeks with the team. That's a significant amount of money.
Yeah. Tarasenko, the thing I may be worried about is his tempo.
Good point by you.
And I think that's something that you always want to monitor. Because it looks like, I mean, Leon with Fogle looks good. A lot of speed there, right? Same with McLeod. So,
yeah,
I'd be looking for some speed.
Zuby, we're going to be merciful on you. You can pick one more, and then we will we'll wrap it up.
You know what?
You're passionate about a couple, but
we have some good ones. There's some really good ones. Thomas M. Said, "What do you guys think is more beneficial, having the number one PK or having the number one power play? What would you rather have?"
Oh, number one power play.
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Is it?
It is. I value a PK because when you need it. Like tonight, they needed it. They needed those. What was it? 3 kills. Now I recognize it's not the greatest power play of all time that the Blackhawks iced, but I like a good PK. I like to know I can get it done when it's needed, because even a good PK can, what is it? Still score a few goals, but a bad
I don't
PK
know
kills you.
I'm gonna say something that's not true, but it feels true. I feel like a crappy a really good power play can make up for a meh penalty kill. Harder for a meh penalty kill to make up for a mediocre power play. Probably doesn't make sense, but that feels like a thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Thanks for humoring me on that mess. Go ahead, Zuby.
Okay, I'm going to combine two here. Walker pointed out that he says, "What do you guys make of LA losing 6 in a row?" And I'll just dovetail that. Penner's Pancake said, "Of Kings, Vegas, or Canucks, who would worry you the most in a first-round playoff matchup, let's say if the playoffs were to start today?"
Canucks got the tender. You can get goalied against Vancouver.
Yeah, that's scary. I can't believe how they're doing. I did not project them as a playoff team. And here they are running, not running away, but they're leading the division. So, I mean, I don't think I was alone in that one. I still a big fan of the Kings. I think Vegas, they are what they are. But I would like to see the Oilers go against Canucks. If that was a first round matchup.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be.
Easy Everyone travel the for the media, which I always cheer for the easy travel.
Right. Right.
That's the matchup I want.
I think it'd be an interesting one. The goaltending would be interesting. That would be an interesting matchup.
I agree.
For sure.
That was Ask Us Anything, Zuby. You're getting... Oh, no, you got one more.
All I want to say is there's lots of people on the stream tonight asking about Got Your Back swag. They want to know when they can get some in your hat.
Yeah.
So I think we got to get moving on that. There's lots of folks...
Yeah. Yeah. So two things here, a little bit of internal work we need to do. We need to get what do you guys think of the hat with the logo on the side? Cause we're working our way through, and our great friends over at Kinprint, they've got all kinds of great ideas. I'm just picky and weird about it. So they sent through this idea, and it's okay. If you prefer the one where it's in the middle, like we want opinions here. This is a little bit more subtle with it just kind of on the side there. Struds, what do you think?
Well, I'm not too picky when it comes to hats. I mean, visors, I get a little more.
This is the third time I brought the hats up, and you just always go to the visor.
You're asking my opinion. Hat. I want a visor. That's what I do. Jeez. They not have visors?
Oh, we'll ask if they have visors. Would you want in the middle, or do you want it on the side of your visor?
I think on a visor, I'd prefer it in the middle. But I'm a traditionalist when it comes to visor, logo,
placement. Zuby? You're a hat guy. You've been wearing that one for 3 years on the podcast. Middle or side?
Stole it from Emmer Fudd.
You know what? I like I like it both ways, but I'm drawn. Well, I got the middle here. I'm drawn to the one where it's in the middle. I prefer the one in the middle, but I like that one too.
If the other option,
if that was the one you mailed me in Kelowna, I would wear it, no problem.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But the other one I was considering was the big patch here. Like, you know how they'll put a patch on?
Yeah.
And it kind of covers up the seam. And then the Got Your Back logo in the middle of a nice big patch. So there's lots of possibilities on that front too. But we're working through it with Kinprint, and we are going to come up with something.
Let me just translate for all the listeners as well what's going on. Shogger can't make a decision. So this isn't going to happen for probably another till season six. Like, that's just, I know how he operates. And if he doesn't like something, he'll just keep stalling, you like take me. A lap. He knew the name he wanted, but he couldn't make the decision. So I'm not expecting hats until we'll be lucky to have him by playoffs, Zoobs.
Season four, maybe. I've Got Your Back.
There you go.
Mike Smith says, please have a Strutty Pack and Fudge shirt for your Got Your Back brand. Now, I don't know that we're going to put that one on a shirt. That epic moment that we had. I feel like that won't make the shirt. Dr. Carpy says, I like the one you're wearing, Shoggy. By the way, in the last bit of business, we'll get to Gem of the Day and get out of here. We've gone long here. How do we feel about the theme music? I got a chirp on Twitter about the theme music, guys. And I'm not going to lie to you. It kind of rattled me a little bit. It made me rethink my life. I'm okay with changing it. We changed it from season one to season two.
I have the old theme here if you want to hear that. If you want to go really long.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Zuby. Bring in the old one. Oh, that's nostalgic.
Yeah. We made the right choice, Jamie.
I do, but like when I like when the synth comes in, though. I like the synth in this.
Yeah, do you have the synth?
I can't skip ahead, but it'll get
there. Oh, the synth is so good on this one, though, Stress.
Here, it's coming up right here in the breakdown.
Kay Gill says, no, no, no. Love the music. Love the theme music, says Kay Gill.
I got I do too. Hard. I still love
it. Somebody referred to it as elevator music. Do you have the rap version, Zuby? Yeah. Somebody referred to our theme music as elevator music, and a couple of people actually agreed.
The rap is great, and then the hook is not so great on this, but it's...
I don't know. I know we're going long here, Strutty. I know you want to go, but these are big decisions. I think we should wrap the show with that.
Sure.
Here's what I want to do. Okay, here's what I want to do. This is what we're going to try tonight. Zuby, you're going to roll the theme music, and I am going to time it with my amazing skill that when I stop talking and say goodnight, just as the rap hits.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
If we could do that every show, it would be amazing. So, Zuby, I'm going to signal you for the theme music. Time now for our gem of the night.
Let me get Shreddy, the gem.
A little something special that you're going to go with here, buddy.
What I'm going off of Twitter. I put out that there needs to be a time limit on NHL reviews, and our good friend Lynn Crowley Spran said, I do not reject this tweet.
That's so awesome.
Gem of the, that was early. That was before the show even started. She nailed it.
That's awesome. That is our gem of the night. Strutty, great job tonight, my friend. This was likewise. A little off the rails at times, but we had a lot of fun. Zuby, first star of the night, buddy. You are a rock star.
Oh, oops.
Oh,
it's coming back. I messed up your whole thing.
What happened? I had more time than that.
Well, no, that's the song, man.
I didn't know that it started that quickly. Okay, stop it.
It's like two measures of music, and then it...
Okay, stop it and start it again, and I'll wrap up. Good job tonight, guys. Thank you. And thank you for all your downloads and your subscriptions. Thanks for following along here and having some fun with us on Got Your Back. And a big thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Grin so big, we cheesing. Yeah, we dreamers and we dreaming.